Chapter 43. Pellegrino and Butler had done their work. They had earned their overtime payments. The McKinney boys were gone. Main Street was silent and completely deserted. The moon was out and the air was soft. Devereaux was taller in her heels. We walked side by side, close enough for me to hear the whisper of silk on skin and to catch the scent of her perfume. We got to the hotel and went up the worn steps and crossed the porch. I held the door for her. The old guy was working behind the counter. We nodded goodnight to him and headed for the stairs. At the top, Devereaux paused and said,
"Well, good night, Mr. Reacher, and thanks again for your company at dinner."
Loud and clear. I just stood there. She crossed the corridor. She took out her key. She put it in room 17's lock. She opened the door. Then she closed it again, loudly, and tiptoed back to me and stretched up and put her hand on my shoulder. She put her lips close to my ear and whispered,
"That was for the old man downstairs. I have to think about my reputation. Mustn't shock the voters."
I breathed out. I took her hand, and we headed for my room. We were both 36 years old, all grown up, not teenagers. We didn't rush, we didn't fumble, we took our time, and what a time it was. Maybe the best ever. We kissed as soon as my door was closed. Her lips were cool and wet, her teeth were small, her tongue was agile. It was a great kiss. I had one hand in her hair and one on the small of her back. She was jammed hard against me and moving. Her eyes were open, so were mine. We kept that first kiss going for whole minutes, 5 of them, or maybe 10. We were patient. We took it slow. We were very good at it. I think we both understood that the first time happens only once. We both wanted to savor it. Eventually, we came up for air. I took my shirt off. I didn't want McKinney blood between us. I have a big shrapnel scar low down on my front. It looks like a pale octopus crawling up out of my waistband. Ugly white stitches. Usually a conversation starter. Devereaux saw it and ignored it. She moved right along. She was a Marine. She had seen worse. Her hand went to her top button. I said, "No, let me." She smiled and said,
"That's your thing? You like undressing women?"
"More than anything in the world," I said. And I've been staring at that particular button since 9:15.
"Since 9:10, she said. "I paid attention to the timeline. I'm a cop."
I took her left hand and got her to hold it out, palm up. She kept it there, patiently. I undid her cuff button. I did the same with her right hand. The silk fell back over slim wrists. She put her hands on my chest. She slid them behind my head. We kissed again. 5 whole minutes. Another great kiss. Better than the first. We came up for air again, and I moved on to the button on the front of her shirt. Like all the others, it was small and slippery. My fingers are big. But I got the job done. The button popped open, helped on its way by the swell of her breasts. I moved down to the 4th button, then the 5th. I eased the silk out of the waistband of her skirt, all the way around, little by little, slowly and carefully. She was looking at me, and smiling the whole time. Her shirt fell open. She was wearing a bra, a tiny black thing with lace and delicate straps that barely covered her nipples. Her breasts were fantastic. I eased the shirt back off her shoulders, and it sighed and parachuted to the floor behind her. Her scent came up at me. We kissed again, long and hard. I kissed the curb where her neck met her shoulder. She had a cleft down her back. Her bra strap spanned like a little bridge. She put her head back, and her hair spilled everywhere. I kissed her throat.
"Now, your shoes," she said,
and her throat buzzed against my lips. She turned me around and pushed me backward and sat me down on the edge of the bed. She knelt in front of me. She untied my right shoe and then my left. She eased them off. She hooked her thumbs in my socks and peeled them down.
"PX, for sure," she said.
"Less than a dollar," I said. Couldn't resist. We stood up again and kissed again. By that point in my life, I had kissed hundreds of girls, but I was ready to admit Devereaux was the finest of them all. She was spectacular. She moved and quivered and trembled. She was strong but gentle, passionate but not aggressive, hungry but not demanding. The clock in my head took a break. We had all the time in the world, and we were going to use every last minute of it. She hooked her fingers behind the front of my waistband. She tugged on it. She undid the button, one finger, one thumb. We kept on kissing. She found my zipper tab and eased it down slowly, slowly. Small hand, neat thumb, precise finger. She put her hands flat on my shoulder blades and slid them side to side. Warm, dry, soft. And then she moved them down, slowly, to my waist and then down again. She slid the tips of her fingers under my loosened waistband and tented the fabric. She went deeper. She pushed back and down, and my pants slid over my hips. We were still kissing. We came up for air, and she turned me around and sat me down again. She pulled my pants off and dumped them on top of her shirt. She left me on the bed and stepped back a pace and held her arms out wide and said,
"Tell me, what to take off next?"
"I get to pick?" She nodded.
"Your choice."
I smiled. A hell of a choice. Bra, skirt, shoes. I figured she could keep her shoes on. For a spell, anyway. Maybe all night long. I said, "Skirt." She obliged. There was a button and a zipper at the side. She popped the button and slid the zipper down, slowly, an inch, 2 inches, 3, 4. I heard it sound quite clearly in the silence. The skirt fell to the ground. She stepped out of it 1 foot, then the other. Her legs were long and smooth and toned. She was wearing tiny black panties. Not much to them, just a wisp of dark fabric. Bra, panties, shoes. I was still sitting on the bed. She climbed into my lap. I lifted her hair away and kissed her ear. I traced its shape with my tongue. I could feel her cheek against mine. I could feel the smile. I kissed her mouth. She kissed my ear. We spent 20 minutes learning every contour above our necks. Then we moved lower. I unsnapped her bra. It fell away, insubstantial. I ducked my head. Her head went back, arching her breasts toward me. They were firm and round and smooth. Her nipples were sensitive. She moaned a little. So did I. She moved and kissed my chest. I lifted her off my lap and rolled her on her back on the bed. Then she rolled me. 20 fabulous minutes spent getting to know each other above the waist. Then we moved lower. I was on my back. She knelt over me and slid my boxers down. She smiled. So did I. 10 amazing minutes later, we changed places. Her panties came down over her hips, and then she lifted her knees to let me finish the job. I buried my face between her thighs. She was wet and sweet. She moved, uninhibited. She rolled her head from side to side and squirmed her shoulders and pressed herself down on the mattress. She ran her fingers through my hair, and it was time. We started tenderly, long and slow, long and slow, deep and easy. She flushed and gasped. So did I. Long and slow, long and slow. Then faster and harder. Then we were panting. Faster, harder, faster, harder, panting. "Wait," she said. "What?" "Wait, wait," she said. "Not now, not yet. Slow down." Long and slow. Long and slow. Breathing hard. Panting. Long and slow. "Okay," she said. "Okay, now. Now. Now." Faster and harder. Faster, harder, faster, harder. The room began to shake. Just very faintly at first, like a mild, constant tremor, like the edge of a far distant earthquake. The French door ticked in its frame. A glass rattled on the bathroom shelf. The floor quivered. The hall door creaked and stuttered. My shoes hopped and moved. The bed had hammered against the wall. The floor shook hard. The walls boomed. Coins in my abandoned pocket tinkled. The bed shook and bounced and walked tiny fractions across the moving floor. Then the midnight train was gone. And so were we.